ever wondered how to deal with people who hurt you? The Bible offers profound and surprising answers that can transform our understanding of forgiveness, justice, and love for the enemy. Discover biblical stories full of drama and mystery. The pain of betrayal is a universal experience, a wound that marks the soul and leaves deep scars. In the Bible, we find numerous examples of betrayal by friends and family, situations that allow us to reflect on our own experiences. One of the most eloquent psalms on this subject is Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. Even the man of my peace, in whom I trusted, he who ate my bread, lifted up his heel against me. This verse captures the essence of the pain felt when someone close to us, someone in whom we have placed our trust, betrays us. The betrayal of a friend not only hurts, but undermines our ability to trust others. In this context, it is crucial to explore the depth of these experiences to better understand how betrayal affects our lives and how we can find comfort and answers in the scriptures. Subscribe now so you don't miss any details of this introspective and revealing journey through biblical stories. The most iconic story of betrayal in the Bible is that of Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 to 16, we read about how Judas agrees to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they assigned him 30 pieces of silver. This act of betrayal not only marked the beginning of Christ's suffering and passion, but also symbolizes the ultimate expression of disloyalty by someone in his innermost circle. Judas's betrayal was not just a financial transaction. It was a devastating breach of trust and love. Jesus, aware of the impending betrayal, continued to show love and compassion, which adds a layer of complexity to the narrative. Judas's act not only caused deep emotional pain for Jesus, but also created an atmosphere of suspense and tension among the disciples, who began to question their own loyalty and that of others. This type of betrayal is particularly painful because it comes from someone we trust and love. The Bible shows us that the pain of betrayal can lead to a deep sense of paranoia and distrust. When someone close to us hurts us, we begin to question the sincerity of everyone around us. However, the scriptures also offer us comfort and guidance in dealing with these feelings. The story of Judas's betrayal teaches us that while pain is inevitable, there is also room for redemption and forgiveness. Exploring these biblical stories allows us to reflect on our own experiences and find comfort in the fact that we are not alone in our pain. The Bible shows us that even in the darkest of times, we can find light and hope through faith, and an understanding that betrayal, though painful, can lead us to a greater knowledge of ourselves and our relationship with God. Revenge, on the other hand, is a natural response to pain and betrayal. But the Bible teaches us that this path can lead to devastating consequences. In Romans 12:19, we are told, "Avenge not yourselves, my beloved, but rather give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." This verse stresses that vengeance belongs to God and not to us, suggesting that in seeking vengeance, we put ourselves in a place that is not ours. Imagine the story of a man betrayed by his business partner. Filled with rage and a yearning for justice, this person decides to take matters into his own hands by sabotaging his ex-partner's efforts. At first, his revenge may seem to give him a sense of relief and control, but he soon realizes that his actions have led to a spiral of conflict and mutual destruction. Revenge not only amplifies the conflict, but also consumes the one who seeks it, creating an endless cycle of resentment and retaliation. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17 to 18, we read, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbled, lest the Lord look upon him, and it displease him, and he turn away his anger from him." This proverb warns us against the temptation to enjoy the misfortune of our enemies. It reminds us that divine justice is impartial and fair, and that rejoicing in the evil of others can displease God and divert His justice. The story of Joseph and his brothers in the Old Testament is a powerful example of how divine justice intervenes. Joseph, betrayed and sold into slavery by his own brothers, had every reason to seek revenge. However, instead of retaliating when he had the opportunity, he chose to forgive. In the end, God not only restored Joseph, but also used his suffering to save his family and many others during a severe famine. This narrative shows how divine justice can work in ways that are unexpected and beyond our human understanding. It is crucial to understand that seeking revenge can poison our hearts and divert our attention from what really matters, our inner peace and our relationship with God. Divine justice, although it sometimes seems to take time, is complete and perfect. God, in His infinite wisdom, knows how and when to act to rectify injustices. A personal advice would be to focus on healing and forgiveness rather than revenge. This does not mean that we should ignore pain or injustices suffered, but that we should trust that God sees and understands our suffering and will act in due time. Prayer and meditation on the scriptures can help alleviate the weight of anger and the desire for revenge. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 tells us, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." This suggests that we can overcome evil with acts of kindness and forgiveness, thus freeing us from the cycle of revenge. Ultimately, leaving vengeance in God's hands is not a sign of weakness, but of strength and faith. Trusting in divine justice allows us to free ourselves from the burden of hatred and find peace in the certainty that God will act justly. Personal vengeance may offer momentary satisfaction, but only divine justice can bring true resolution and lasting peace. Forgiveness is one of the most challenging and transforming teachings of the Bible. It is not just an act of kindness, but a powerful tool capable of changing lives and situations. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 22, Peter approaches Jesus and asks, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me, even up to seven times?" Jesus answers, "I do not say to you, up to seven, but even up to 70 times seven." This answer illustrates that forgiveness should be unlimited, reflecting God's infinite mercy toward us. Forgiving those who have hurt us is an internal process that is often filled with struggle and resistance. It is natural to feel hurt, angry, and betrayed, and these emotions can make the act of forgiveness difficult. However, the Bible calls us to be merciful and to forgive as God has forgiven us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "But be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God also in Christ forgave you." This instruction reminds us that our forgiveness toward others should reflect the forgiveness we have received from God. The process of forgiveness can be compared to an internal battle. Imagine someone who has been deeply hurt by a close friend. Each time he or she attempts to forgive, the hurt and anger resurface, fueling resentment and distrust. However, with each attempt at forgiveness, the person begins to experience a gradual release of the weight of resentment. As forgiveness sets in, the damaged relationship begins to heal and transform. A striking testimony is that of Corrie ten Boom, a Holocaust survivor who, after World War II, came face to face with one of the guards of the concentration camp where her sister had died. This man, now a convert to Christianity, asked for her forgiveness. Corrie, struggling internally with hatred and grief, prayed for the strength to forgive. Finally, she reached out her hand and felt an indescribable peace and release. This act of forgiveness not only freed Corrie from hatred, but also transformed the repentant guard. Forgiveness has the power to change destinies, both of the one who forgives and the one who is forgiven. Through forgiveness, we release the power of God to work in our lives and in the lives of others. It frees us from the burden of resentment and allows us to experience true peace and reconciliation. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting the harm suffered, but rather releasing the destructive power of resentment. In practicing forgiveness, we follow the example of Christ, who on the cross forgives his executioners, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke chapter 23, verse 34. This unconditional forgiveness is the greatest sign of love and mercy, and invites us to follow in his footsteps, transforming our lives and the lives of those around us. Moving on to another important point, the mystery of loving your enemy is one of the most radical and challenging teachings in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus tells us, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." This command goes against our human nature, which tends to respond with hostility to mistreatment. Loving our enemies requires a profound transformation of heart and mind, challenging our perceptions and emotions. Moreover, in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 28, Jesus reinforces this teaching. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who slander you." Here, Jesus not only calls us to love, but also to bless and pray for those who harm us. This threefold command reveals the depth of the love Jesus expects from us, a love that transcends human understanding and becomes a reflection of divine love. Imagine a person who has been unfairly accused and publicly humiliated by a colleague at work. The natural reaction would be resentment and desire for revenge. However, this person decides to follow the teachings of Jesus and begins to pray for his enemy, wishing him well and looking for opportunities to show him kindness. At first, this act of love may seem futile or even absurd, but over time, the enemy begins to notice the change and is struck by the unexpected kindness. The tension dissolves and eventually an opportunity for repentance and reconciliation arises. The challenge to love our enemies invites us to explore the hidden motivations behind this command. Why does Jesus ask us to do something so difficult? By loving our enemies, we deactivate the cycle of hatred and violence. We transform our own lives and the lives of those around us, creating an environment of peace and understanding. This kind of love is a reflection of the unconditional love of God, who loves everyone without exception and invites us to be channels of that love in the world. Another important point is that the fulfillment of this mandate can produce unexpected and transformative results. Not only does it change the dynamics of our relationships, but it also transforms us internally. It frees us from the burden of hatred and resentment, allowing peace and joy to flourish in our hearts. Love of the enemy is ultimately a powerful tool for reconciliation and personal transformation. By practicing this radical love, we follow the example of Jesus and become agents of change in a world that so desperately needs love and compassion. Another important point is the redemption of persecutors, a manifestation of God's transforming power. The Bible offers us moving examples of how those who once persecuted Christ's followers found redemption and a new purpose in life. One of the most striking accounts is the conversion of Saul, later known as the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 19, the story is told of Saul, a fierce persecutor of Christians, who was traveling toward Damascus with the intention of arresting more followers of Jesus. On the way, a light from heaven surrounded him, and he fell to the ground, hearing a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It was Jesus who confronted Saul directly, blinding him for 3 days. This supernatural encounter and Jesus' subsequent instruction radically transformed Saul. From that moment on, he became one of the most fervent defenders of Christianity, adopting the name Paul and dedicating his life to preaching the gospel. Saul's conversion is a powerful testimony to God's redeeming love, capable of transforming even the most bitter enemies into ardent defenders of the faith. This story shows us that no one is beyond the reach of divine grace. No matter how far we have fallen or how deep our sins, God can touch our hearts and change our lives radically and completely. Another significant story is that of Jesus' forgiveness on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, while suffering a painful death, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These words demonstrate the magnitude of Jesus' love and mercy, extended even to those who crucified him. This act of forgiveness had a profound impact on those who witnessed it and remains an eternal example of how forgiveness can be a first step toward redemption. Narrating these stories in detail allows us to understand the tension and drama involved in the transformation process. Imagine Saul's inner conflict, going from being a feared persecutor to a fervent follower of Christ. This change was not instantaneous or easy. It was a journey of repentance, acceptance, and renewal. The atmosphere of mystery and expectation is intensified when considering how and when this change occurs in the heart of the persecutors. God's transforming power not only redeems the persecuted, but also the persecutors. This teaches us to pray and hope, even for those who harm us. The redemption of the persecutors reminds us that God's love is inclusive and transforming, capable of changing the lives of all, regardless of their past. Another crucial point is divine protection in times of trial. The Bible assures us that God is with us even in the most difficult circumstances. In Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, we read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This verse expresses confidence in the constant presence of God, who guides and comforts us in the darkest moments. Imagine a young Christian facing persecution in his community. Constantly harassed and threatened, he is overwhelmed by fear and despair. Yet, in the midst of his anguish, he experiences moments of inexplicable peace, as if an invisible hand is protecting and guiding him. These moments of divine protection, though subtle, give him the strength to carry on and keep his faith intact. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 gives us another powerful promise. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and you shall condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment." This verse assures us that though we face attacks and slander, God's protection will cover us, and no weapon of the enemy will succeed in destroying us. This protection is not always visible, but its impact is deeply felt in our lives. In times of great danger and suffering, divine intervention can be surprising and mysterious. Consider the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, faithful to God, was thrown to the lions for not renouncing his faith. However, God sent his angel to close the mouths of the lions, protecting him from certain death. This act of divine protection not only saved Daniel, but also showed the power of God to all who witnessed the miracle. These biblical accounts of protection in times of trial remind us that although we face persecution and suffering, we are not alone. God sustains and protects us, often in unexpected ways, giving us the encouragement and strength to overcome any adversity. Confidence in this divine protection enables us to face our challenges with courage and hope, knowing that God is always with us. Finally, we come to the crucial point of final judgment and eternal justice. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 to 13, we are presented with a shocking vision. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. This dramatic moment reveals that every person will be judged by their actions, and every injustice will be rectified. On the other hand, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, Jesus describes the judgment of the nations with the parable of the flock of sheep and goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, placing the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. To the righteous he will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." While to the unrighteous he will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Imagine the tension and expectation of standing before the throne of God, waiting for the reading of the books. The characters who have lived their lives in various circumstances now face the consequences of their actions. Divine justice manifests itself in a surprising and definitive way, revealing rewards for the righteous and punishments for the wicked. In this final judgment, every secret will be revealed and every act, good or bad, will be evaluated. The atmosphere of mystery and drama is palpable as the eternal destiny of each person hangs in the balance of divine justice. This climactic moment reminds us that although human justice may fail, God's justice is perfect and eternal. To delve deeper into these topics and receive more thoughtful content on faith and life, subscribe to our channel. Stay inspired and strengthened in your spiritual journey.